Good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to 1, here on KKFI, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And we have a full house like we usually do every Wednesday because we're just jam-packed with art and stuff that's happening in the community that's written in words. Mark's laughing at me. Today we have Brian Williams, Andy Meyer, another Andy Palatsian, and Ralph Tomlinson here in the studio live with us. So let's get started. I want to introduce you to Brian Williams, the development director for the Folly Theater. He's going to talk about the Metzler Copacan initiative to expand the performing arts at the Folly Theater. And this was established by Bunny and Paul Copacan to celebrate the life and legacy of their close friend, C. Stephen Metzler. Now, Steve was a passionate advocate for the arts and was instrumental in the revitalization of the Folly Theater. Now, the initiative supports small and mid-sized arts organizations by providing an opportunity to elevate their public profile, expand their audience, develop and showcase the talents of their artists, enhance the production values of their work, and build a stronger organizational future through performances in the historic Folly Theater. Welcome, my friend Brian.
Thank you, Maria. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to meet you finally, and I'm very excited for you to share with our listeners what this means to the Kansas City area, the community, the arts organizations in that.
Well, I'm excited about this new initiative. Just now getting it underway. It was just established a few weeks ago by our very good friends Bunny and Paul Copacan to honor the life and legacy of my late partner Steve Metzler, who was just very passionate about the arts here in the city that he loved. And he believed so strong that the arts were an important way to build a more vibrant, healthy, diverse community and to uplift the spirit of people.
What a beautiful legacy. It really is a beautiful legacy. And, you know, speaking of beautiful, that historic Folly Theater is just a gem in our city.
Thank you. I am so thrilled and honored to be a part of the Folly family. Mm-hmm. I've been there for a year and a half. It is Kansas City's only remaining 19th century performing arts venue.
Right?
It was built shortly after the electric light bulb was introduced in Kansas City, so it's all outlined in light bulbs, and it is the only theater of its size in Kansas City at 1,078 seats. It is just a very intimate and acoustically pristine venue, and just a beautiful ornate hall.
It really is. When we were talking earlier in the green room, I had shared with you memories of the Folly Theater as a kid growing up, that it was boarded up and really sort of was abandoned and just neglected for so many years.
It was slated to be torn down. The contract had already been let for a wrecking company to level it. They were going to put a parking lot on that corner, and like they were doing to so many of our historic buildings in Kansas City. And fortunately, a group of very passionate community leaders, of which Steve was one of them, stepped up and said, "We have to save this cultural asset." And I'm just so thrilled that they did.
Grateful for his vision in that.
Yes.
You know, it could have easily been a paved parking lot, or who knows. But let's talk about the grants that the Metzler Copacan Initiative. Up to 4 grants will be awarded each year.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. We have a $24,000 grant total to distribute, and our goal is to try to distribute it across a wide spectrum of small to mid-sized performing arts organizations that are really looking to take their organization to the next level. They're looking for an opportunity to grow their audiences, to showcase their artistic works and vision, and this grant is designed to help them come to and present on the Folly Theater stage. Maybe not otherwise able to afford to do that. This is to help it make it more affordable and accessible, so if they can concentrate energy on growing and developing their audience, and hopefully they'll come back as a regular presenter at the Folly.
That would be great. Now, part of this grant would also include the theater rental, right?
Yes,
labor and equipment rental.
Yes, the purpose of the grant is to defray a portion of the cost of renting the theater, including all of the production costs that would be involved in the stagehands and lighting and sound and that.
Can you talk about some of the criteria that you're looking for? I know you mentioned small and mid-sized arts organizations. just you want a pretty good sampling of different arts organizations here.
Exactly. We want the organizations to be able to demonstrate that they have the financial capacity to be able to afford the balance of the rental costs and to promote the concert in a way that will help them grow and develop the audience. So we're looking for organizations that can demonstrate their ability to use this opportunity to really strengthen and grow their audience base and their organization. Beyond that, we're looking for creative projects that will be a fun addition to the cultural mix in downtown Kansas City.
Now, is this strictly Missouri, Kansas, or both?
It's not restricted either to Kansas or Missouri. Anyone that wants to come in, we do require that they be a 501c3 organization.
Okay.
But we don't care where they're from. We just want them to come to the Folly.
Beautiful. And for consideration of a grant under the Metzler Copacan Initiative at the Folly... I can't even talk today. At the Folly Theater, an organization should submit a proposal, right?
Yes. There's a grant application process. The grant form is available on our website, which is thefollytheater.org, and the deadline for submitting grants is August 31st.
Now, that's really right around the corner. I mean, this is the end of July, but this should give enough a time for organizations to kind of, you know, figure out this is what we want to do and this is how we want to do that, right?
Yes, and one of the things that we're asking people to do as part of the application process, and the form is not very complicated or extensive, but we do want them to contact the Folly to coordinate the availability of the dates they're looking for the presentation, and to talk through what they're planning to do so that we can give them a fairly strong estimate of what the cost will be, so they can include that in the application, and we can use that to determine the award amounts, grant award amounts. So the first process is to decide when you want to present something and then to make sure that those dates are available. We're not looking for just speculative ideas that we'd like to do this sometime. Mm-hmm. We actually want real, serious, concrete proposals that if we can provide the funding for it, you know, it will happen and it will be successful for the organization.
Beautiful. Now, if folks have questions about the application or maybe are unclear about, you know, what to put down on the application, can they contact you?
Absolutely. I would welcome any questions. I'd be glad to help in any way I can. My email address is Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at FollyTheater.org. And Folly Theater is spelled with a E-R at the end. It's FollyTheater.org. Or they can call me at, my phone number is 816-842-5500, and I'm at extension 102, and I'd be glad to help and answer any questions I can.
And remember, that's FollyTheater.org, and the application deadline is August 31st at 5 p.m., right?
Correct.
Now, you have two ways of making applications. One is electronic, and the other is a hard copy.
Yes, they can either email a PDF of their application, completed application to me, or they can mail it to the Folly Theater. And our mailing address is 1020 Central Street in Kansas City, Missouri. Our P.O. box. It makes you mail it to our
P.O. box.
mail it to my attention at the Folly Theater with our P.O. box is 26505. In Kansas City, Missouri, 64196.
Very good. I think this is going to help propel a lot of arts organizations that maybe wouldn't have had really this opportunity.
I hope so. I really think that's an exciting opportunity for us to collaborate with some small and emerging arts organizations that maybe have not been as visible or as well-known, and to help raise their public profile and give them some exposure. Mm-hmm. Steve was such a passionate advocate for small and emerging arts organizations, and I think this is such a wonderful way to honor his legacy and celebrate his commitment to the arts.
Now, was he an artist, a performer himself?
No. He didn't have any personal artistic talents, but he certainly loved to promote them. He was on the board of the Kansas City Friends of Alvin Ailey for 15 years. They got their start at the Folly Theater. He was on the board of the Kansas City Art Institute. At the time of his death, he was the chair of that board. He was on the board of Kansas City Young Audiences. He just loved the arts and the impact they had on people, particularly young people.
We are so grateful for that because, you know, it means a lot to so many people here in Kansas City. You know, the small arts organizations, performers, and all that to be a part of this Folly Theater on stage. How awesome is that?
I think it's very exciting and a wonderful opportunity, and I'm just very excited about this. And I hope that it's successful, and I hope we get just a whole bunch of applications that we'll have an opportunity to select through.
Now, if you just tuned in, I'm talking to Brian Williams, the Development Director of the Folly Theater, and he's talking about the Metzler Copacan Initiative to expand the performing arts at the Folly Theater, and that is through a grant in honor of... to celebrate the life and legacy of their close friend, C. Stephen Metzler, who was a passionate advocate for the arts and was instrumental in the revitalization of the Folly Theater, which, you know, it's just a fantabulous place to go and listen. So intimate a space. Yeah. And again, that application deadline is August 31st. www.follytheater.org is the website. And Brian Williams, would you give your number again in case people have questions about that or want to talk to you further?
Absolutely. It's area code 816-842-5500, extension 102.
You know, when this came across my email, I was so excited. And thank you to Consuelo Cruz, who actually sort of said, hey, here's something. Because that's how it happens in the city, you know. People know about each other and opportunities, and so we're really grateful for this.
I was thrilled that I was able to get this information to Consuelo. She's such a wonderful advocate for the arts at the city manager's office, cultural arts, cultural affairs office, and she's a great friend, and I was so pleased that she was able to pass this along to you so that I can tell your listening audiences about this opportunity.
Absolutely. And we hope that this goes on for many years. Is that sort of what the goal is?
Absolutely. The commitment is for the first 3 years of this program, and we'll evaluate how effective and successful it is, and see what the future lies after that.
Brian, did I leave anything out? Is there something that we forgot to mention that you might want to tell our listeners?
I don't think so. I think we've covered it pretty thoroughly. I just encourage people that if they're interested, we would welcome applications, and we look forward to seeing what types of collaborations we can help to support this next year.
Very good. And I know just one other thing. When we were in the green room talking, you said that it was the sort of the opening of the Fringe Festival that took place. A sort of a celebration at the Folly last Friday?
Last Thursday, absolutely. Thursday. We had been wanting to be a part of the Fringe Festival for a number of years. We were so excited that we had an opportunity to host their opening night sampler presentation. We had almost 60 different artist acts come across the Folly stage to kind of do two or three minute teasers of the Fringe Festival performances that are coming up. And it was a fun evening. It was really wonderful.
Yeah. Anytime you're at the Folly, it's a great evening, I think.
Thank you so much. I welcome everyone to come anytime.
Very good. Well, thanks so much, Brian Williams, for coming to talk with us. And all that information is on our Facebook page or follytheater.org. And we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. Welcome back to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday, noon to 1. And we were just talking to Brian Williams, the wonderful development director at the Folly Theater. We did talk about the Fringe Theater, the Fringe Festival that took place, or that's taking place right now. And next up, we have Andy Meyer, who's with Right Between the Ears. She's the education director. Right Between the Ears is an award-winning sketch comedy show which broadcasts every week on Kansas public radio stations. And it can be heard on Sirius XM, National Public Radio, BBC4, and Delta Radio. Four-time winner of the gold medal as best comedy show at the New York festivals, Right Between the Ears spoofs politics, TV and movies, sports figures, the rich and famous, the quirky, and even the occasional turkey. Andy Meyer's also the producing artistic director with Tradewind Arts, which is a Pan-Asian artist collective dedicated to illuminating and empowering the Asian Pacific American APA voice through diverse creative media, particularly in the theatrical arts. Welcome, my friend Andy Meyer.
Thanks, Maria. Thank you so much for having me.
You've got so much going on. What should we start with first?
Well, this weekend are our final two performances with Right Between the Ears. We are down at Union Station on Thursday and Saturday is when you can catch us making fun of everybody.
Yeah, and that's going to be at 30 West Pershing Road, Union Station, the city stage, yeah?
Correct.
Very good. And so what... Gosh, what do you have on tap with that? Just a lot of political spoofs and comedy and
political. We
there's probably not too much of that
with everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, right, left, up and down, and even here at home in Kansas City.
So, how many years has Right Between the Ears been performing for the Fringe Festival?
Fringe Festival. Yeah, maybe. You know, we did it the first year of the Fringe, and then we came back about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and we've been having fun, being silly.
Yeah.
Over the microphone in Kansas City at the Fringe Festival. I think it's been about 4 or 5 years.
They're really a lot of fun. But, you know, I want to switch gears and talk about Tradewind Arts because this is something new, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's very new. It's been sort of percolating in the back of my mind for almost 2 decades, dare I say.
Yeah.
But it's really come together in the last couple of years. All of a sudden, there's been sort of a tipping point of Asian American and Pacific Islander artists who are capable of sort of functioning really out in the professional art scene of Kansas City. And so we've been able to gather together some mostly theater folk at this point and have been creating some programming.
There's nothing before it existed prior to the formation of this organization, right? I mean, you kind of knew that people were out there, performers and whatnot, but to come together.
Well, yeah, I mean, actually, for years and years in the theater scene anyway, there was just myself. And then Victor Inutan, who is now head of lighting at UMKC, moved to town. And then there was he and I, and a couple more people showed up. So then maybe there were 4 of us in theater. There were other artists in other disciplines, but you know it's interesting in Kansas City. There's not a way for us to really touch base with each other as Asians and Pacific Islanders in the arts or any other industry. There are a few other organizations, like there's the Asian American Chamber of Commerce and stuff, but there's no real cultural or community touchstone for us all together. And there are people who are separate in their various communities who have, you know, dance groups or music groups and stuff. But just recently, people have really been starting to bubble up into the mainstream Kansas City art scene.
So it's a really pioneering pathways in Kansas City in some ways, right?
Yeah, very much so. Actually, in the region, probably the closest other API theater group is Denver. Then there's Moo Performing Arts in Minneapolis, and there are a couple in Chicago, but in this area of the country, we are it.
Very good. And you hope to enable artists, APA artists, to demonstrate excellence in the arts through professional opportunities and career development, nurture audiences, and really make people aware that you're here in Kansas City, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. One issue with not having enough performers, say for one of our larger professional theaters to do a show with Asian Americans, is that we don't really have that entry point. And so, you know, there are numerous ways that we'll have to address that. We have to build the audience. We have to get the word out in our community. We have to find our artists and make sure that they have the opportunity to get on stage and work or, you know, show their skills in whatever arts discipline.
If you've just tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to Andy Meyer, who's the Education Director of Right Between the Ears, also the Producing Artistic Director of Tradewind Arts. And tradewindarts.org is the website that can give you more information about what we're talking about. It's about time, right? Don't you think that
it's been a long time coming? Yeah. It's definitely been a long time coming. Yeah, and I'm really excited that it seems like the wheels are ready to turn. We just have to, you know, kind of get all our ducks in a row. We need, like many organizations of our kind, people of color, we need professional development. We need to learn about what it's like to, become arts administrators. We need to, we need resources like everybody in the arts, but us especially, since there hasn't been that entry point for us. So,
It's not just enough to be an artist, performer, and all that, musician, whatever, but you also have to have sort of business sense or background, and
absolutely.
That I think one thing that many artists lack or need education on.
Right. Well, and that's been one thing that's been really wonderful about Kansas City. It's such a maker community, an entrepreneurial community, and I had the opportunity to take the Kauffman Fast Track and Artist Inc. and Artist Inc. Advance in December, and those have been very helpful. It's really enabled me to connect with my fellow Kansas City artists and find out what's happening with them, which has, really given me motivation and ideas and
help
to build it up.
What is the thought behind this group? I mean, are you getting a lot of support from the Asian community?
Again, there's no way for us to really make contact with each other. I have been fortunate enough to become officially deputized, or what's the word, sworn in as the alternate commissioner for Hawaii on the Mayor's Ethnic Enrichment Commission.
Okay.
And so through that, I've been able to make contact with so many people in Kansas City who've been working for years in their own communities to build up momentum and presence. And so that's where I'm really starting to look.
Beautiful. Again, tradewinarts.org. They're also on Facebook.
That's right. That's probably the best way to get in touch with us.
And if folks want to find out more about you or contact you directly, tradewindarts@gmail.com.
That's right. Yeah.
Very good. Now, with you doing both of these, spinning plates in the air, how do you manage all that that's happening with Right Between the Ears and Trade Wind Arts and Raising Family and all of that? I mean, you've got a lot going on.
I do. I have two toddlers. It is very busy, and I do my best to hang on with my fingernails. I've got a great managing director, Erica Crane Ricketts, who's been helping out a lot, and other people have been pitching in as well. Eric Palmquist, who's been doing some graphic design, Julian Rivera. People are pitching in.
You've got just a few more performance dates here, right?
Yeah, Right Between the Ears.
Right Between the Ears. And again, the shows will all be at Union Station's City Stage at 30 West Pershing Road. Let's see, coming up you have, tomorrow night.
That's right.
At 9 o'clock, a performance, and then your last performance on Saturday. July 30th at 7:30. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are one of the most popular programs at performances at the Fringe, there could be the leftover. What do they call that?
It's called the Fringe Hangover.
That's it.
On Sunday. So that's a possibility.
I want to give our listeners the website to rightbetweentheears.com, and it's spelled out just the way it sounds, rightbetweentheears.com. So that's a lot of fun. You guys have a lot of fun on stage together.
Oh, we do. Yeah,
sound effects and, bloops.
Live sound effects. There's rodents running around and all kinds of silly stuff.
I was in until you said that.
Well, it's just the sound.
Very good. Is there anything else that we want to talk about that I left off?
We do have another staged reading coming up in September on Monday night at the Fish Tank Performance Studios. That is actually our residential home. Heidi Van, who curates the spaces, has created what's called a legacy program, and we are one of the first recipients of that. In October, from the 1st to the 9th, I'll be at the Asian American Theater Conference at Oregon Shakespeare Festival, appearing on a panel about theater and other spaces. And in January, from January 24th to February 12th, we'll be partnering with the Coterie Theater on Hannah's Suitcase by Emile Scher.
Wow. Like I said, you have lots going on, Andy.
Sure do.
Very good. Congratulations to you on the Fringe Festival. I know it's always a passion and a lot of work, a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And TradeWindArts. .org for more information about that. You know, I think we mentioned, or you may have mentioned, V-Tran is a part of the organization too.
V's around. He's not in town right now and hasn't been available for any of our projects.
I think he's in Chicago.
He's directing something right now. But he shows up at our meetings once in a while and helps us sort through scripts and such. Yeah.
Where do you hold the meetings at?
We have been holding them around town at various restaurants various Asian restaurants who would let us camp out and kind of read through a script. But now that we have the location down at the Fish Tank Performance Studios with Heidi, we are able to meet there, and that has been very helpful for us. It offers us rehearsal space, meeting space, performance space.
And all that will be on the website.
Correct.
Very good. Thank you so much, my friend. Andy Meyer, Education Director for Right Between the Ears and TradeWind Arts, Producing Artistic Director. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having us on.
You bet. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this.
Underwriting support for KKFI is provided by Summerfest KC and their American Roots Concert Series running July 4th through July 29th, with alternating concerts at White Recital Hall and St. Mary's Episcopal Church. The series will explore multiple influences on American Roots music, including Appalachian folk, African American culture, gospel, funk, and bluegrass. Complete information is available at summerfestkc.org. We thank Summerfest KC for their support.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes of a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is the latest blockbuster from Disney Pixar, and it's called Finding Dory.
This is the sequel to Finding Nemo, but this time we're looking for Dory, who has short-term memory loss.
Voiced by Ellen DeGeneres. You know, and I think this movie pretty closely follows the template of the first one, at least in terms of it being a road comedy. So here she is. She's traversing the ocean in search of her family.
Yes.
And Nemo and his dad are out searching for her.
I thought it was very entertaining. The colors just are magnificent. But I have to say, Nemo was a bit better. The story was a little more interesting. It had a little more development than this one did.
I agree. And I guess that's the inherent problem with all sequels, is that they have a template that they have to adhere to and at the same time live up to the previous movie. And it doesn't quite do that. But I think that's a little bit unfair, because you have to take these movies one at a time.
And if you haven't seen Finding Nemo, you will enjoy Finding Dory. You don't have to see one to understand the other.
And that is the strength of a good sequel.
Yes. I think the character of Dory is engaging, but in terms of a cute character, she's not as cute as Nemo.
True enough.
And the humor is going to appeal to adults as well as children. There were plenty of children in the audience where I saw the film, and they were all laughing, and the adults were too.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did not.
Again, it just proves you don't need 3D. It's not necessary to enjoy it.
In Nemo, there were more tangents that were really entertaining.
I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
Underwriting support for KKFI is provided by Butterflies and Wildflowers, Inc., an empowerment agency dedicated to inspiring and nurturing girls. The agency is hosting a phenomenal woman celebration Sunday, August 7th, 2016, from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Kansas City event space, 1709 Walnut Street in Kansas City. There will be guest speakers, music, and a catered rooftop reception. More information is available at butterfliesandwildflowers.org or on eventbrite.com at Phenomenal Woman Celebration 2016.
Michael, my nephew, who still has a lot to learn, wants to know what's on the next Arts Magazine show.
Then let's teach him about the Unicorn Gala. And guests from the Unicorn will be here to talk about just that.
Will there be music from La Cage aux Folles?
Oh, I'm sure there will be. Then later, folks from the Lawrence Opera Theater will be here to talk about the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's birth.
Why, that's 2,800 in dog years.
That's Monday at noon, Arts Magazine Show.
You're listening to Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd every Wednesday with you, noon to 1 o'clock. We're going to keep going with our Andy Palooza. We've got another Andy in the audience today. We've got Andy Palooksian, who's the Story Center Program Manager at Woodneath Library. And she's been a guest on the show before, but she wants to talk about what's happening actually tomorrow, I believe. Or actually, no, I take that back. Tonight, 7 to 9 o'clock at the Woodneath Library Center. Mid-Continent Public Library, in partnership with Kansas City Public Television, KCPT, will present the documentary film, Our City Divided. Now, this examines a violent crime in Kansas City's segregated community east of Troost Avenue. The film shines a spotlight on the KC No Violence Alliances and their attempts to prevent murders with a collaborative policing approach, and explores whether enough is being done to tackle entrenched social conditions that foster violent crime. Welcome, my friend Andy.
Good afternoon, my friend Maria.
It's a morning or afternoon of Andy's. So this is happening tonight. Documentary film that's being shown.
I have a couple of good friends who are aficionados of local film, and they happened to catch this documentary before. They've been to True False, they've been to Middle of the Map, and this was the piece of media that really stuck for both of them. And we were lucky; we had other community advocates, Kansas City Public Television, various other groups that recognize this is something that the library system wants to do. Mm-hmm. We want to try and have community conversations. And the Story Center is dedicated to story mediums, film being one of the most impactful. So we're really hoping for a good audience tonight and a good discussion following the film.
And it's such an important conversation to have.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, I've lived in Kansas City my whole life, and the notion of the East of Truce neighborhood, or that, you know, quote-unquote place you don't go, that's something that's been in place for a long time, and I think it's very easy to relegate a part of town to something, you know, that anecdotal. Mm-hmm. What I like about this is that it actually retraces a lot of the steps. You know, there are things that you can understand about the condition of a community, math in place that talks about, the lack of community advocacy, the lack of schools, libraries, infrastructure that a lot of us really take for granted, and how that can decay a neighborhood from the inside out.
Now, the documentary film, Our City Divided, does it begin with some sort of a starting point, a history of Troost at its highest?
Right. Well, honestly, right now, Kansas City is catching some national attention in one of the worst ways. I like to come on and talk about all the wonderful arts that we have going on, but if you look at it from a purely statistical point, I'm in the same boat you are. Statistical point, you can point to some very scary numbers. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to get hung up on that. And I do believe that's sort of where the story begins, because that's how a lot of people access the story. But throughout the course of the film, you do meet, obviously, groups that are trying to make a difference, but also a family of four, the Carter family, who's moved back to this area, in an attempt to bring it back. And so it is hopeful as well. It's very honest, and it's a very necessary conversation, but there is a hopeful thread.
What other events do you have around this? I know the documentary film, Our City Divided, aren't there some panel discussions that have taken place or will?
Yeah, we absolutely have. In conjunction with this screening, this is the only one that we're able to do at Mid-Continent, but we, just part of the system's strategic goals, the ways that we want to try and serve our community. We have kind of 6 points that we try and hit, and early literacy is right up front. But certainly in there is a commitment to having other community discussions. And sometimes it's as pragmatic as TIF hearings and neighborhood development and local government concerns, and other times it is more meaty and impactful and necessary, and that's what we're doing tonight.
It sounds like you'll have a full house, and in that, do people need to do? Do they need to make a reservation or call in advance?
That's a great question. Generally, with a lot of our programs, we have space for all. So, if people are willing to make the trip, I would just encourage them to come. But it's always a wonderful idea to either call the branch at 816-883-4900, or you can just access our website, and that is mymcpl.org.
You know, I think this is something that demonstrates the role of libraries in our lives, where it's not just checking out books and, going to story time and that with children. Mm-hmm. I think it really shows an investment in the community.
Thank you for saying that. That's definitely a way that we are trying to deepen our relationship with the people that we hope to serve. We love story time with the kiddos. I think it's the cutest time of the week. I tend to hang out over there and just smile. But it is quite a bit more than that. You know, we have programming to help adults research their family history. We have programming to help people lead healthier lifestyles. We have to have programming to help people address larger community issues as well.
I'm talking to Annie Pulitzian, who's the Story Center Program Manager at Woodneath Library, and that is located at 8900 Northeast Flintlock Road in Kansas City, Missouri. It sort of borders on Liberty, but it's actually Kansas City. MyMCPL.org is the website. We're talking about Our City Divided, which is a documentary film in partnership with the Kansas City Public Television that they're going to present tonight at Woodneath Library, 7 and 9 o'clock.
That's right.
Now, do you expect that this film will be so popular that maybe some of the other branches may want to screen
Absolutely.
It as well?
That's my hope. You know, honestly, the way that this particular opportunity came to us, we have a great community partner, a local entrepreneur named Brandon Gott, and he runs the Bistro at our library, but also another coffee shop in the Liberty area, and he's just someone who cares about his community, and he brought this to us first because that's his home base as well. But we have 31 locations around Kansas City, so the likelihood that we would try to screen this more often, I think, is very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to see what the turnout is like tonight. If we can pack everybody in, we sure will. And if there is demand, I know we will do our best to screen it again.
Well, and again, you know, since the topic is so important to us all, then I think the conversation should continue.
Absolutely.
You know, there's really no sort of resolution in this. I mean, it's an ongoing dialogue that we should have with one another and our community leaders in that. So,
Well, and that was what I think I liked about it. It wasn't just a look at, those scintillating details, sordid crime statistics, things like that. It wasn't just shining the spotlight on the area to say this is an area that is dodgy, that is, mired in crime, that is without services. It really points the light in the opposite direction at the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
There are community leaders and there are community members who have failed this particular area of Kansas City, and it's not a new conversation. It's simply a new film.
And it's up to us. It's our responsibility to take part, I believe, in resurrecting, bringing some good things into this, into the community. And I think one of the things that comes to my mind is Tulips on Truth. And I know that's a small part of it, but still that beautification. And
it's a beautiful part of it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and that our focus within the Story Center is very humanities-based.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently that manifests in writing a story or telling a story, a performance like other Andy was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But one of those branches is film as a medium, and it is a way to tell a very powerful story. And this one is not, again, simply powerful. It's also hopeful. And I particularly enjoy that.
That's beautiful. I really do. Anything else that you may want to add to the story? Look at her. She's like,
there's lots
of things up my sleeve. She's pulling up her sleeve, folks.
We do. We have sleeves full of stuff. It's hard to move from something so serious to something light, but we are at the tail end of the Fringe Festival, and the National Storytelling Network just had their conference here. I mean, Kansas City is bathed in storytelling riches right now. And
We are so lucky.
Yeah. I love this city. It's not just barbecue or even really, really good jazz, which we do have. In the month of August, right around the corner, in fact, August 20th and 21st, we are hosting a storytelling retreat for everyone who's ever been curious about the medium, maybe wanted to practice, whether it's a personal tale, something like the story slams we're seeing or the poetry slams, or something more theatrical, an adapted folktale, fairy tale, organizational storytelling. We will have workshops all weekend on that. There's going to be about 16 workshops offered over those 2 days, and information about that is on the same website.
Now, is that just at the Woodneys?
It is. It is, because our Story Center is located there. And honestly, I know lots of your listeners have a favorite Mid-Continent branch. I know where I grew up, we had the most adorable little library.
Uh-huh.
We call them our cinder block palaces. They're necessary and they're beautiful, but they don't always have space for larger events, and we're very fortunate at the Woodneys Center to have larger spaces to do things like this. So we hope to see people from all over our community.
I think it gives hopes for the other branches that aren't quite like Woodneys, that maybe someday they can grow into a Woodney.
Oh, they will. Honestly, the library system has a wonderful 10-year plan, and there's a lot of hope for development. We would be crazy if we weren't looking at development. Kansas City is growing so fast. In fact, there are some census statistics, since we'll go into statistics, that say by 2020 we will be over 1 million residents. So, you know, with demand rising and population rising, many of our little cinder block palaces will become real castles soon.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Andy Politzian, for coming
in. Thank you.
And again, that is tonight, Our City Divided, the documentary film that's going to be screened at Woodneys Library from 7 to 9 o'clock. 816-883-4900 if you are interested for more information or reservations for the evening. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this. You're tuned in to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, we don't have another Andy. We ran out of Andys. We've gone through our fill of Andys for today. But I do have Ralph Tomlinson, who is the Adult Services Librarian at the Olathe Public Library. He just has a whole lot of information to share with us about music programs and CDs and DVDs and all of that. And I'm going to let him talk about that. So welcome, my friend.
Hi. It's good to see you again.
Always good to see you. So you have been doing, been coordinating a lot of the music programs there at the Olathe Public Library, and I do want to mention that it had sort of a shift in location, right?
Yeah, well, our library has recently had a shift in location. We lost our branch, which was the Indian Creek Library. Actually, we didn't call it a branch. We just called it the Indian Creek Library. There was water main break underneath the library, and we decided to close that location. We are opening a temporary space, but the even bigger news is we've bought an old Hy-Vee grocery store on Santa Fe that we're going to open a couple of years from now as a library, and it's about almost six times as big as our branch was, so we're really excited about that.
That's awesome. So you could put in a bowling alley if you wanted to.
Oh, we could.
It's that large.
If you have ideas, let us know. We might bowling
alley
with anyone.
But I do want to talk about some of the music programs that you have going on, and they've been going on. I know this one in particular, Tuesday Tunes with Betsy Ellis, right?
Yeah.
This is in its second year. It started in June 2014. Betsy Ellis is one of the founders of the Wilders, and she's currently playing with Clark Wyatt as Betsy and Clark, and they lead an acoustic jam starting at 6:30 on the first Tuesdays of every month. So Clark usually comes to the jam, so does Brett Hodges of the No Mountain String Band, and it sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. I went to the Folk Alliance Festival, and I took a class with a guy named Dr. Banjo, whose real name is Pete Warnick, who plays with Hot Rise, a legendary sort of bluegrass band. And I said, you know, it would be cool to have a jam session. And wait a minute, it would be cool to have a jam session at the library. So I started looking around and found Betsy. She offered to lead the jam session, so we've been going strong for 2 years now. We usually have anywhere from 15 to 30 people show up on Tuesdays, and we play a wide variety of songs, everything from Beatles tunes to Grateful Dead to bluegrass, just whatever anybody brings along, we kick in and play.
So what's the most odd instrument that someone has brought?
The most an accordion was pretty odd. You seldom see accordions at jam sessions. Somebody did bring in a piano one night. That was kind of interesting. So.
No ukuleles?
Ukulele is not strange. That's a pretty common instrument as far as I'm concerned.
No, but you know, we were talking in the green room earlier about ukuleles, and you gave me a little bit of information about what's happening with the ukuleles at the public library.
Yeah, actually it's sort of a trend that a few libraries across the country started this, and we sort of noticed it and latched onto it because we've got at least half a dozen ukulele groups here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. We decided, why not see if we can check out ukuleles at the library? So we have four ukuleles right now that people can check out at the library, and we have another half dozen or so that people can actually come into the library and use, or we use for programs. And we have ukulele mm-hmm. lessons, which we're doing about every quarter
and
at the library.
Can they also check out ukulele music chord sheets? Or
we have some books on ukulele, mm-hmm. like Ukulele for Dummies, and we have the Daily Ukulele book, which has 365 song ukulele songs. So, yeah, we have some music they can check out. We send everyone the ukuleles out with a tuner so people can tune the ukulele. And they go out for 3 weeks. Right now, there's such a demand for them, people usually have to bring them back after mm-hmm. 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they could renew them up to 10 times. But right now, we have people waiting in line. We've got almost 3 months, 5 months waiting to check them out.
Wow.
So we need to buy some more.
Yeah,
but it's been a very successful program, and I'm really excited.
That's terrific, but it's not the library that I grew up with. You know? And,
no,
and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, just as Andy was talking about, you know, the documentary film that's going to be screened tonight. I mean, you really vested in the community and what's happening and people's interest in how to sort of get them into the library and learn new things, right?
That's true. And I went to college to be a reference librarian, and you know, reference books are sort of going out the door every day because they're expensive.
Yeah.
People don't really use them as much anymore since we've got Google. It's surely everything's on the web.
Yeah,
of course,
crazy.
It's not, but most people believe that it is. So there's that. But the libraries are changing. We are trying to find out different ways to interact with people. I mean, there are libraries that check out cake pans, and there are libraries that check out tools. Skill saws and everything else. So the libraries all across the country are changing, and everybody's sort of trying to find that niche. And I think we've sort of found ours in music.
Yeah, and I do want to mention that another regularly scheduled program that you have at the Olathe Public Library is Third Thursday Tunes, but sometimes you schedule it on other dates based on the band's availability, because I know, you know, music.
Yeah, we're doing a Third Tuesday thing, because I said, you know, we've got music on the first Tuesday. Why not do it on the third Tuesday as well? So we've got people that, so far we've managed to keep most of them on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of events that are coming up that are on different days of the week because they're touring groups, but generally it's on Tuesday nights. Really excited. We had Jeff Porter there last week, mm-hmm. who's with the Rainmakers, and that was a wonderful night. Coming up in August, we've got Kevin Roth, who plays dulcimer, and he really has a unique dulcimer style. He also has an instrument called a guitarcimer, which is a dulcimer and guitar combined that he plays.
Mm-hmm.
He actually sang the theme song to the Shining Time Station, which was a PBS show. So, and he's also a good friend of Paul Stuckey, who was with Peter, Paul, and Mary. They co-produced his latest CD, so I'm really looking forward to seeing him at the library.
That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Ralph Tomlinson, the Adult Services Librarian at the Olathe Public Library, talking about the different music programs that are offered there at their location at 201 East Park Street in Olathe, Kansas. Also, coming up with that Third Thursday Tunes, you've got, Friday, September 2nd, which is not a Tuesday. You've got Rock and Read with Larry Kerwin, who's the founder of Black 47. September 20th, you have Cody Wyoming of the Philistines and the Pedal Jets, and so on and so forth. So for more information, where should our listeners go?
You can go to our website, which is olathelibrary.org. That Olathe Library is all one word. Or you're welcome to call me at 913-971-6889. But the best place is if you go to our website and look under events, and it has a list of everything coming up there. We're really excited about Larry Kerwin, because Larry is actually going to come out and help us kick off our temporary space, which is on Merlin in Santa Fe.
Uh-huh.
We've got construction people there hammering away right now as we speak, and they're putting up plasterboard and getting it ready.
Well, maybe they can be a part of that jam.
There we go. What can you do with that hammer? But Larry, I've seen a couple times at the Irish Fest, and I heard he was coming back, and I said, you know, I wonder if we could get him to come to the library just for kicks. I have this bad habit of writing to people and say, would you come play at the library? And I wrote Larry and said, would you come to the library and do your Rock and Read thing, which he sings some of his songs that he did with Black 47 and some new stuff, and he also reads from his He has several plays. He's written books. He has a memoir out, so he reads bits and pieces from that. You know, Larry, if you ever go hear Larry, you'll probably get the best Irish history lesson you've ever had in your entire life in half an hour. He's just an amazing character. And he's going to be September 2nd at our new location, which is right at Merlin in Santa Fe. So I hope everybody can come out for that. It will be starting at 6:30. We plan to have things going on throughout that day to sort of celebrate our new temporary location. Temporary, as in we'll be there for a couple of years.
How has this been received in the community, the music programs?
It's been really good. We usually have, I mean, it's a nice, small crowd. We usually have 25, 30 people who come out. But they love it because, you know, you're not competing with people clinking glasses and talking to their friend next to them or something. Mm. The artists really love it, too, because it's a very quiet space. We actually, when the show starts at 6:30, which they frequently do, I try to keep the sort of lower level, lower volume folks at 6:30. And we have people sitting around in the library, you know, using the computers or looking at books and then we have music in the background, so it's a really nice space. We've had maybe a couple of complaints, but really everybody seems to enjoy it.
I like that. I like that shift and, you know, bringing music into the library where normally it would just be pretty quiet. You know, we were talking in the green room about your son, so would you like to give your son a shout out? Because he's going far, far away.
He's going away. He's leaving me. Sunday he's going to India, which is just amazing. My wife has become the scholarship queen. She's got a couple of great scholarships for him this summer. And hi, Martin. It's good to see you. Andy was here earlier, and she said to tell you hello.
And he's a pretty darn good ukulele player himself.
Yeah, he's a
right?
great ukulele player. He's been at it, and he sort of got me started on it as well. We seem to have this bad habit of starting instruments together. When he was very, very small, we started out violin, and then we sort of evolved to ukulele, and now we sort of both try to play guitar, although he's a much better guitarist than I am.
Now, is he going to take that to India with him?
He is not taking an instrument to India. However, he's going away to Wisconsin for an entire semester, and he's taking his guitar with him. So hopefully he'll come back with a bunch of new songs. He actually did a songwriting camp with John McCutcheon.
Terrific.
Pretty good.
And he just came back from Spain not too long ago,
Yeah,
right?
He spent a month in Spain learning Spanish, so he had a great time there. He was in Seville. So.
Just wanted to give him a shout-out because he's a terrific kid.
Yeah, also we both participate in the Shots in the Night program here on radio on Thursday, first Thursday of every month.
Yeah, you have a history with KKFI.
I have a bit of a history.
We love that. We love that about you. That's why we can't say no.
Yeah, I've been at the radio station ever since before they had a radio license, so I was back in the dark days when we were doing bingo to raise funds to get this thing going.
You know, we really did, folks. I wasn't a part of that back then, but that really did actually happen.
It's not an urban myth. We actually rented a space out in Lee Summit and sold people bingo cards to raise money to build a radio station. So, you know, that was almost 30 years ago now, over 30 years ago now.
We are so grateful that you did that because here we are today, 26 years later, 27 years later, and we're still going strong.
Yeah, it's great to see. I'm just so thrilled every time I come down here and see what's going on.
We love
you. At the radio station. It's just amazing.
We love you, Ralph Tomlinson, Adult Services Librarian at Olathe Public Library, and the website is olathelibrary.org. Thank you so much, my friend. Please come back.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and do come and hear some music at the library.
We'll do that. You know, I'm winding up this hour, and I wanted to say thank you to Andy Meyer, Ralph Tomlinson, Andy Palitzian, Brian Williams, and, of course, you listeners, thank you so much for tuning in and making us a priority. Next week, we're in August 3rd, Wednesday, August 3rd. We've got Jen Harris, Dave Abadi, J.C. Franco, and Kwanzaa Humphrey. They'll join us here live in the studio, so we hope that you tune in for that. Be sure to like us on Facebook because, you know what, we really like you. And, you know, we want to have your support in what we do here at this little old radio station on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. So thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for Jeff Harshbarger for Jazz in the Afternoon. And, honey, I'm coming home.